Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, good evening. Good to see all you guys out tonight. If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 4, Matthew chapter 4. During worship, I kept hearing this phrase. I believe it's from the Lord to you and to the body of Christ, but I just kept hearing this phrase that God's desire for his people right now is to make ambassadors of the heavenly realm. When I kept thinking about what that means, ambassadors of the heavenly realm, which is ultimately the kingdom of God. What does that look like for each of us? And so often we walk through life and we just kind of get into these grooves in life and we kind of just adjust to whatever our culture is and the way we do living. And we just kind of, sometimes just lose time with God and we get busy. And God is after us in this season to create this atmosphere within our hearts to see who we really are in his eyes and then begin to dispense the heavenly power into the earthly realm. Sometimes that's countercultural. Sometimes that's doesn't look like a normal Sunday morning. And sometimes that goes contrary to what you're even doing right now. But often we don't ever find those places in God because we don't think we're worthy of those places. And I just felt like the Lord wants to know how worthy we are, how chosen each of us in this room is to walk out this dimension in God. And it's not just power, it's love, it's all the attributes of the kingdom of God. Well, in Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted, and most of us are familiar with that, and he passed the test. Meaning he passed the temptation where the first Adam could not pass. The first Adam fell. Jesus passed every test of the enemy. And he comes out of the wilderness and he begins his ministry. And he goes to Capernaum. And the Bible says in verse 13 that he settled there. And this was to fulfill a passage out of the prophet Isaiah. It says right there in Matthew 4. And he begins his ministry, and the very first words that the Bible says that Jesus began to preach, the very first thing that he began to do, it says in verse 17, Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, in our terminology, if he were to say that to us today, he would basically be saying, I want you to change the way you're thinking because I have a heavenly kingdom that's now within your reach, meaning you get to partake of something different and something new because I'm here. Now, repentance traditionally is taught turn from your sins, which it absolutely means that. It's the same idea. But in this particular way that Jesus was preaching, he's essentially saying you got to change your mind. You got to change your perspective. You got to change the way you're thinking because something is now available to you that you haven't seen before. And so that's what he actually preached. He said, repent. Now, John the Baptist preached similar things. He said, repent. And he was saying the same thing. He was saying the kingdom is now close. And Jesus is saying now it's within your reach. That's what at hand means. Now, the fullest dimension of the kingdom of God where Jesus is physically ruling on the earth, we haven't seen that yet. That'll come in full manifestation at the second coming. But what we know of what Jesus did, what the gospel actually is, when Jesus died and God rose him from the dead, suddenly something's going on. When we become born again, we receive God into ourselves and suddenly we become, the Bible says, a brand new creature. A whole new reality, if you will. And it creates tension because often we're living in our normal bodies. Nothing's really changed. And we have the same minds we did. We have the same experiences we did. But when we're born again, a whole new reality takes off. And what Jesus is basically saying to humanity is change the way you think. I want you to understand what I've made available to you. Now, it's an awesome reality, because further down in the passage, in verse 23, what is this kingdom he's talking about? What's it really like? What does he want us to change the way we think to see something different right here? And Jesus begins to demonstrate it. It says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So he's proclaiming it with his mouth. And then it says, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases, pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them all. Large crowds gathered him. Now, I don't know what the borders were back then in Syria then, but Syria now, is fairly large land mass, the country, the physical country. And the fame of Jesus without the media that we have spread throughout all the land. And if you start thinking about it, why did it spread throughout the land? Some of his teaching, what he was declaring and what he was preaching, he was saying, repent, because it says in verse 17, he started to say this from this point forward when he preached the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. He kept telling people, change the way you're thinking. Something different is happening. Now, some people would come near Jesus and they would see that paralytic that wasn't in wheelchairs back then, obviously, that paralytic that was drug in by his friends or put on boards or whatever. Can you imagine the scenes of people coming from all over Syria and all over the different countries, and they were bringing people to Jesus and they're dragging people in and he's touching them and they're suddenly whole? Now, I want you to start to get an awareness of what that would actually have been like. We're talking about masses of people. Was there fighting? Most likely. Was there screaming and yelling and pushing and shoving? Absolutely. Did it smell? Most likely. I mean, think about it back then. But people were going, I'm changing the way I'm thinking because I'm visibly seeing. My paralytic friend is walking around screaming for joy. Think about it. I mean, it wasn't this little passive commotion. People, demons were being cast out. The mentally insane were suddenly sane and talking for the first time in their lives. People that were suffering from every kind of conceivable disorder were being touched and healed. And the Bible says in Matthew 4, he healed them all. Now, if that kind of activity is going on, what is Jesus demonstrating? Well, he's demonstrating what he's proclaiming. He went in the synagogues, he went in everywhere, and he taught them the gospel of the kingdom. Then he ultimately demonstrated it. So what's happening when Jesus Christ touches your body or your mind or your soul? What happens? Restoration, healing. What's going on? Interaction with the kingdom of heaven, which is the kingdom of God. Literally what's happening is the kingdom of God is coming upon people. And when it does, when heaven touches your reality, things change inside of you. I mean, and so Jesus was declaring this. And so when you think about Jesus as a healer, one of the main components of who Jesus is, and one of the main components of training up disciples, is this reality of becoming aware of changing the way we think and becoming aware of what heaven has to offer even now in our times. Now, what does the body of Christ do with this reality right now? A lot of healing ministry is very controversial. A lot of people in the body of Christ don't believe it. They think that the healing minister, and sometimes they are, but they think that the healing minister is a shyster, or they're faking things, or this kind of reality is going on. Well, when you have some authentic reality taking place, there's always going to be a deception and a fake and an imposter type of things, because the enemy always copycats what God is actually doing. But don't take the controversy about healing ministry away from the heart of God and what he wants to do in the land, in the hearts of people. Now, some people say, well, right now, you know, we're not sure if it's God's will to heal. We're really not sure if it's, you know, the right time or, that kind of a thing. And again, I just say, look at the ministry of Jesus. What did he demonstrate? What did he demonstrate when he said, repent, the kingdom of heaven's within your reach? What does Isaiah 53 say that Jesus did on the cross? It said that he bore our grief and sorrows. If you translate that back into the original language, it says he bore our sicknesses and our pains. He was pierced through for our transgressions. That was sin. He was bruised for our iniquity, which is our rebellion and our perversion. The chastisement for his peace was upon us. Upon Jesus. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, some theologians say that all of that's describing sin, just sin. But sin is described through our transgressions. One of six major realities in the prophecy of Isaiah 53. And so when we begin to look at that, we have to ask ourselves the question, if Jesus was demonstrating this heavenly kingdom and he was preaching this, what does he expect of people that follow him? And we just have to turn to Matthew 28. And we know this is the Great Commission. But Jesus says this very key element, and this is what God's after. This is what when you become an ambassador of the heavenly kingdom, you're going to grow in healing authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even till the end of the age. Jesus is saying, go make disciples. Would you teach them exactly what I taught them? Now, what did the disciples know about Jesus more than anything? What was his primary mode of operation in ministry? He preached, he declared that the gospel of the kingdom of heaven is now available. Then he demonstrated it. He healed the sick. He healed on the Sabbath. Several times in Scripture, it says he healed them all in a large crowd. His outflow was a conduit of his Father's kingdom. He was manifesting his Father's heart to humanity. He was manifesting his Father's love to humanity. Several places in Scripture it says Jesus had compassion on them, and then he healed them. And so Jesus demonstrated this, and he's saying, teach them to do the same as I'm doing. Now, the first disciples' reality would be, oh, he's telling us to heal the sick, because Jesus commanded them to go and do that, and they did that when he released the 70 to go do that. And then in Mark 16, he said, again to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then he says, these signs will follow those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, to me, when Jesus says that, that's pretty a strong statement of the reality of moving forward with the authority of heaven behind you. But the reason a lot of Christians don't see that type of reality is because they don't know who they really are. They don't know what God desires for them. They don't know that God wants to flow through them. All they look at when they look at themselves is they look at their weakness. And, I just yelled at my spouse today. I yelled at my kids. I yelled at the guy driving beside me. You know, the snow's melting. I mean, all these things. And they look at the way they live in life moment to moment. And this whole reality of carrying this type of authority, it just goes away. And people literally live with a sense of unworthiness. They can live an entire life under that, of being unworthy. Now, one of the things that happens when you start to realize who God's made you to be and you start to try to walk this out, this type of lifestyle out, God's going to begin to move through you. He just needs your agreement with it. I always think of a man named John Wimber who was the founder of the Vineyard movement. I don't know how many of you know who he was, but he was kind of a laid-back guy. I mean, when you saw him on stage, he'd kind of be in sock feet and, you know, just wearing jeans. And, you know, and a lot of people don't know how he got started. When he, in his meetings, a lot of people were healed. I remember my dad taking me to some of his meetings when I was really young. And I saw things that, you know, really impacted my heart. I mean, I have some strong visuals of things that I saw. But one of the things that was powerful as a part of those meetings is people really found God. There was a lot of weeping. There was a lot of power demonstrations. There was a lot of people healed. It was just like commonplace. Excuse me. And but John Wimber, his start is he looked into the healing scriptures, and this is how he told it. I'm just giving you a quick summary. He looked into the healing scriptures, and he said, "Huh, we're supposed to be healing the sick right now. In this time, we're supposed to be healing the sick." And so he felt this mandate from God, and he said for 2 solid years on Sunday morning to his poor congregation, all he preached was healing, healing this and healing that. And he said he would line everybody up and he'd pray for healing. And he said for 2 years, not one person was healed, not one time. And people left and they left the church and they did all these things, but he kept feeling this from the Lord. He kept feeling this reality of stepping forward in healing ministry, because that's what Jesus did. And we talk a lot about what would Jesus do? Well, he would just dispense his kingdom. That's all he wants. He wants his kingdom to flow through us. And it's not just about the power. It's about love. It's about the full reality of what his kingdom means. And when Jesus says, go into the world and preach the gospel, he's just saying, I want to show you what heaven is. In the Sermon on the Mount, he taught us how to pray. He said, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the most prayed prayer in all of history. And that reality is being prayed all the time. Well, Jesus means to follow through with that. And he means for the body of Christ to come into her fullest identity at the end of the age. And for all of us to understand what God's actually called us to. And so he kept praying. And he said, frankly, I got really discouraged. You know, we're not seeing any healing at all. And one day, you know, he was the pastor, so he was called to go pray for this lady that had a really bad fever. She was bedridden. And he said he didn't feel like doing it at all. And he walked to the house, and he said, it's going to be just like every other time. And he went into this house, and he talked to the husband, and he says, where's your wife? And she's in the back bedroom. And he went back to the bedroom and prayed this little, he said, little weak, frail prayer. Lord, would you heal her? And he was walking out, you know, fully expecting to just go back home on a Sunday afternoon. And all of a sudden, she got up. What happened in her words was the power of God surged through her. Her fever left. She got up out of bed and she followed him out of the room and said, can I make you something to eat? And everybody was astonished. And of course, they had a little praise time. And then from that point on, the healing began to break out. And so this reality that's the kingdom of heaven actually is inside of us. But it's based on how we believe and think about it and how it comes pouring out of us like rivers of living water. And a lot of times we like to think, I believe God in this reality. And you might even start in this whole dimension. I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray for the sick. And you try 2 or 3 or 5 times and you go, it's not happening. And people will settle back based on their experience. Instead of surging forward, believing the word of God over experience, they'll settle back and create theology around what's not happening. And they'll say, God will do this and do that and do this. Now, I'd like to believe you, but I can't. Because Jesus said what he did was reveal his heavenly kingdom, which is full of love and compassion, but full of power. It's full of reformation. It's full of transformation for body, soul, and spirit. And so the reality is that we have to step into that, believing that whether we feel mad, glad, sad, or bad. It's not dependent on you and your holiness and how good or bad you are. It's dependent on what Jesus has already done for us. And we get to step into that reality. Now, there's many times when I've come into ministry, I don't feel like doing a thing. I don't feel, you know, I used to, back in the day, I used to have 5-6 straight sessions. And sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and go, man, oh man, I don't think I can do it. I don't feel like doing it. But every time I went in there, I was amazed at how consistent God's love was for each person. How powerful God is in thinking in each of you. If I could sit down in your life and you started telling me about your reality, we could find amazing things that God has done for you. And yet he wants to even call you forth. What I feel like he's saying is, son, come forth. Be who you're called to be. Daughter, come forth. Stand in this authority that I've given you. And the authority is simply this. I'll use a little metaphor. One day you join the police force in America. On that day, you have no idea, you have no experience, zero experience of what it means to be a policeman or a woman. And the chief of police gives you a badge. And he says, I want you to go out to the main street over here. I want you to stop traffic because we're going to be bringing something in. I just want you to stop traffic. So this guy goes out there. And he's thinking, man, this is kind of intense, but he has something. It's called a badge. And that badge signifies the authority that he's been given by the chief of police, which is covered by the city of Elkhart, which is ultimately covered by the federal government, which is ultimately covered by our military. And so he has the government of the U.S. United States behind this badge. And when he holds a badge up, whether he's been on the job 100 days or 40 years or one day, a couple hours, people stop because of the badge, not because of who he is and how experienced he is. The same idea in the kingdom of God has happened. When you are born again, you are given authority. Jesus said, I've got all authority in heaven and earth, and I'm giving it to you. Go make disciples of all nations. Teach people to do the things that I've done. And start to walk out this reality. Now, what does the enemy do when you start to walk forward in your authority? He brings everything he can into your way. He tempts Peter when Peter walks out in the water. Instead of gazing upon Jesus, he had Peter look at the storm around him, and Peter began to sink when Jesus called him out of the boat. Well, when Jesus calls you out of the boat, would you keep your eyes on Jesus and what he's done and the authority that you carry? See, a lot of Christians never pray in authority. They don't even think that way in their normal life. They don't think to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, fear go right now in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to solve every fear problem. But a lot of Christians live with the enemy telling them lies day after day after day, and they never pull their badge out with their voice. They never say, stop, you're defeated. God has given me authority to walk this out. They don't do it. And so what is God asking us to do to become ambassadors? We have to be so convinced of the Word of God. It has to get into our hearts. We can't just think about it. It has to actually get into our hearts. Now, when I first started in healing ministry, I got to voice, we had a team come from Santa Maria that were seeing all kinds of miracles. In their healing rooms in California, and they did a training session. And we ended up at the Elko on a Tuesday night. And I remember driving around, his name was Rick. I remember driving around with him that day, and he was called to several homes, and we started seeing different interactions. So I started seeing the power of God in different ways and watching him. And then that night, he was going to release our entire team to pray for people and just to step out. Well, in all honesty, I was terrified. I knew that this was God, but I was terrified because I was going to have to actually pray for people and pray for healing. Now, I've done it before in various other ways, but hit and miss, you know, never consistently. And so so this powerful, I remember there's some people from, I can't remember what organizations were there, but God really moved during worship and people were being touched and healed, and they were testifying, and then they released the teams after the service towards the end. And so there's a bunch of us lined up in a row, and I remember the first person that I was going to pray for was a little girl about this high, about 7 or 8 years old. And to just be honest, I was totally scared. And her dad was with her, and he leaned over and said that she has rheumatoid arthritis at a young little age. And that's all I heard. And so I took her hand, and I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. You know, I said, tried to remember exactly what to say. And, you know, I'm totally green at this, but I got my badge. I'm starting to use my badge. And I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Now, she started crying, and she leaned into her dad, and I thought, oh, no, I've offended her. I've already messed this up, you know, and I'm thinking that, and I'm waiting for dad to look at me, and he's, like, trying to comfort her, and he said, honey, what's going on? And he got down and listened to her, and then he caught up, and he said, she says the pain's gone. The pain was gone. Now, we celebrated and, you know, and then moved on. There's a lot of people to pray for. And I prayed for some other people that night and nothing seemed to happen. And some had some improvement and there was all this commotion going on and all these awesome things that, you know, God was doing. And, we can't fully control the outflow of what it's going to be like. There's some people that seem to receive and some that don't, and some get it way later on. Some get an instigation like tonight. When we pray for healing, we might instigate healing in your body, and then we've had many people come back later on and say it was several days later, but suddenly all the pain left. We had one guy that would come in for the food pantry one time, and he came into the food pantry, and he happened to come in during the healing room time. This is a couple years ago, He wasn't a church guy, nothing about it. You know, somebody asked to pray healing for him, and he said, yeah, sure, because he had just lost his job. This was back, you know, when the economy was a little worse than it is now. But he had just lost his job because he could not move because of the pain, the arthritis. And so one of our healing team prayed for him. And, you know, he left. It looked like he was in the same condition when he left, and, you know, we can't follow up with him. He didn't come to our church, nothing like that. And then he showed up a couple months later in the healing room time again, and he said to one of our team members, he said, hey, you remember me? And they're like, ah, no, sorry. But he said, I was healed. That night, my pain all left my body, and I went and got my job back. I mean, and he said it just matter of fact, like, this is what you prayed, and this is what happened. And so this little girl the next morning found out that her fingers had straightened when we prayed for her that night. And she was running around the house, and her feet actually had rheumatoid arthritis in. And she had been making trips to Riley Hospital. And so, you know, this wonderful miracle happened. And, you know, to God, this is normal. To us, this is awesome. To God, this is normal. And he's saying, you're my ambassadors. I want you to grow in this reality. Now, there's other times when we'll pray for people consistently, and it seems like we don't see a whole lot. I mean, you could ask the healing team. They pray all the time for people, and sometimes we see amazing things, and sometimes we don't. But the point is, don't stop believing the Word of God and believing what God wants to do through you and you releasing heaven into the earth. There's some of you in the room here tonight that probably have never laid a hand on anybody because you don't think you're worthy or you don't think you have the authority. But you have the same badge that I do. You have the same badge that any of the experienced healing team members do, to pray for people and to heal the sick, because God has designed that way. And so whether you see a lot or not, it's important to keep running with God in this dimension and to grow in your healing authority. The guy First day on the job, but the police force can stop traffic all day. Now, we have to also say James 4:7 is a critical reality to your authority. And that is, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Some people like to try to resist the devil without surrendered submission to God. That's not wise. Because God, when he begins to move upon your heart and your mind, he knows you better than you. So when you surrender to him, he creates this reality in you. He begins to create this ability to receive his love and creates this atmosphere in your heart as you obey him. And so you can't just resist the devil and then live like the devil. That doesn't work. It's submitting to God, resisting the devil, and then he will flee from you. The devil does not want to hear you speak out in authority. Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. He said, it'll feel like a wrestling match sometimes. He could have used a different term. Sometimes you resist the enemy and it seems like he comes back the next day. And then people give up. It didn't work. It's not like my society in America here, where I just, you know, put the microwave on and I get immediate results. Well, we don't want to stand in this place where we're not resisting the enemy, because he'll take full advantage of us. There's no spiritual safe zone. The minute you set down your badge and your weapons and say, I'm not going to do this anymore, I give up, the enemy is going to take full advantage of that position. He's not going to do a thing about it. I mean, he's not going to not back off of you because you're feeling down or depressed or you're feeling like you're going to give up in life. And see, this is a high privilege of the calling we have in God. Michael, why don't you come on up? What I want to do right now is pray for people to come into their identity, but we also want to release healing flow tonight. We want to release the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we just have faith. It doesn't matter whether we feel like God's moving or not, we're just going to simply have faith to release the kingdom of heaven. That's all God's asking from us, is to believe that way. And so we want to pray for people to come into their full identity in God. I'm sensing that there's some in the room that feel battered and bruised in walking with the Lord, that you feel like you've had great resistance, or you feel like it's been hard to get free seemingly from things. But Jesus has already made you free. He wants you to see yourself through his eyes. And I just feel like praying for people tonight to come into this full reality of being an ambassador. That doesn't mean it'll happen overnight, but it just means that you're going to walk with God with new eyes. The next time your friend says, I have a headache, you ask to pray for them and you put your hands on them. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he's from a denominational church. And, you know, they don't talk about preach healing or anything like that. And he said one of the things that's been happening in their youth group is that they're just starting to do those kind of things, and God is moving, and they're all surprised. My headache went away. You prayed for my headache, and it was gone. See, all God needs is all of us to start taking steps in that direction. That's what he desires. He wants to move in power, and he will grow us, and sometimes we won't see anything, but don't give up. Don't get discouraged. You have the badge. It never goes away. And whether you feel mad, glad, sad, or bad. And so we're going to just worship a little bit. We want to pray for people. I'm just going to invite the team up. Who's praying tonight? Just come on up right now. And we just want to release a ministry atmosphere for the next 20 minutes or so. And we also want you to come up if you have a need, a physical need in your body. You have pain in your body, you're sick, something like that. We just want to release healing tonight. And so both and, we just want to start doing ministry, invite the Lord to come. So why don't you just stand? You don't have to stand the whole time. Just stand and let's pray together. Lord, we just stand before you and we just want to thank you, God, for what you've done for us. We want to thank you, Jesus, for the reality of the gospel. We want to thank you for full salvation, what that means to you. Lord, we're asking that you would demonstrate what that means to you tonight, that you would touch hearts tonight, that you would draw people up into the reality of being an ambassador for you. And Lord, we also take authority over sick bodies tonight in Jesus' name. We rebuke every virus, infection, bacteria, parasite, flu, or pathogen in physical bodies tonight in Jesus' name. And we release the healing anointing right through the bodies now. Lord, we invite you just to begin to move. Lord, I bless eyes tonight. Lord, cataracts. Lord, I just take authority over inability to see, or seeing flashes of light, or seeing things in their eyesight. Lord, I just release healing upon eyes tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, I just release your authority in this room. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and just begin to move. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to let the worship team worship a bit and just come as you feel led to come.
I'm expecting, anticipating the move of God. A move of God. I'm expecting, anticipating a move of God. A move of God. I'm expecting, anticipating a move of God. A move. I won't be satisfied. I won't be satisfied until heaven invades our lives. Move, oh God. Move, oh God. I won't be satisfied until heaven invades our lives. Move, oh God. Move, oh God. I'm expecting, anticipating a move, God. A move, God. I'm expecting, anticipating a move of God. A move. I won't be satisfied. I won't be satisfied until heaven invades our lives. Move of God. Move of God. I won't be satisfied until heaven invades our lives. Move, oh God. Move, oh God. I won't miss. satisfied. I won't be satisfied until heaven invades our lives. Move, oh God, move, oh God. I won't be satisfied. I won't be satisfied until heaven invades our lives. Move, oh God, move, I won't be satisfied. I won't be satisfied until heaven invades our lives. Move, oh God, move, oh God. I believe that you're my healer. I believe more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. I believe that you're my healer. I believe you're all I need. I believe, 'cause I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for. Jesus, you're all I need. I believe it, 'cause I believe that you're my healer. I believe you're all I need. I believe you're my portion, 'cause I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I thank you.
I just keep feeling the Lord say that there's some of you that need somebody to just join with you in your walk with God and just refresh you tonight. If that's you, just come forward. We have time. I just feel like the Lord wants to really refresh some people. We just want to lay hands on you, ask God to bless you, to strengthen you in your walk. And so, again, if that's you, we just want to make sure that we give time for that. And so we're just going to let them keep worshiping. If that's you, you want somebody to just allow God to strengthen you through them, please come forward.
Impossible for you. You hold.